Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is pioneering AIDS researcher Dr. Charles Vanderhorst, a professor of medicine at the University of North Carolina's Center for Infectious Diseases. His writing has been published in The Washington Post, The Guardian, Swimming Magazine, Endurance Magazine, and The Independent Weekly. He was recently arrested inside the North Carolina State House while peacefully demonstrating against laws that hurt children and the poor. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Charles Vanderhorst.
Thank you very much, Ian.
So what's happened to your state of North Carolina? Only 5 years ago, people were in the streets celebrating the victory of Barack Obama in 2008, the first Democratic candidate to capture the state since Jimmy Carter in 1976. And yet, 2 years later, in 2010, with enormous funding from the Koch brothers and the American Petroleum Institute, Karl Rove and others organized a counter-revolution, if you will, where the state of North Carolina, the Republicans have captured all branches of both the Assembly, the Senate, and the governorship. So what happened in such a short period of time?
So what happened was that, first of all, one of the key instigators of that switch was a man named Art Pope, who's his family owns Family Dollar stores, and they're quite wealthy, and he did polls in districts in North Carolina where the Democrats were holding office, and he identified 22 districts which he thought could be flipped with a large amount of money, and the large amount of money was only $2 million, which is not a large amount, and he spent $2 million on 22 districts and flipped all those seats to Republicans in an off-year election. So that was in 2010. That was the time of the census, as you know, and we're redistricting. So they redistricted all the districts to make it so that there were fewer congressmen running in Democratic-controlled districts for the federal House of Representatives, and so they've gerrymandered the state, so it's going to be this way for another 7 years until the next census. So that's what happened. So this is the first time the three branches, three parts of the government, the Assembly, the Senate, and the governorship, have been in Republican hands since time of Reconstruction after the Civil War. And when the governor took charge in January, they instigated a program that affects literally every citizen and every phase of their life. So if you just focus on the medicine things, they decided to not expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act to 500,000 working North Carolinians. So these are not the poor who already qualify for Medicaid, but the working poor who pay taxes. They've proposed legislation that all school children be taught that if you have an abortion, it means you're going to have preterm births ever after, which is, of course, complete fiction. They've proposed a law that a depressed teenager or a teenager who could potentially have a sexually transmitted disease or pregnant would have to get a notarized permission slip from their parents to get any medical care. And if they were emancipated minor, so not living with their parents, they'd have to go to a judge. They've banned the use of the federal exchanges under the Affordable Care Act for abortion in our state. They want to privatize Medicaid, and it goes on and on. All the independent commissions we had in the states are moving beyond medical issues. all the independent commissions like the Coastal Resources Commission, the Power Commission, et cetera, that regulate rates, they passed a law that allowed the governor to fire all the commissioners and put on that were usually scientists and academics and community people and put all his buddies. So now developers are the ones who are controlling our Coastal Resources Commission. They are cutting my taxes, and I'm a true one percenter. We're a two-physician family. They're cutting my taxes by 50%, and they're starting a new tax on, get this, food, medications, and doctor's visits. So this is going to affect the elderly on fixed incomes. It's the biggest tax increase that we've ever seen, and these are supposedly conservative Republicans who are doing this. They've cut eligibility for preschool education from 200% of the poverty level to 100%, and also the amount of money for the number of positions. And the one thing that we do that Jim Heckman, the University of Chicago Nobel laureate, has shown that is the most cost-effective thing we can do in a person's life is to give them preschool education. It'll have the greatest benefit. So that's, I could go on and on for 40 minutes, but I'll leave it at that.
Well, again, I'm speaking with pioneering AIDS researcher Dr. Charles Vanderhorst, a professor of medicine at the University of North Carolina's Center for Infectious Diseases. He was recently arrested inside the North Carolina State House while peacefully demonstrating against laws that hurt children and the poor. Now, these protests have started to build. 17 were arrested initially, then 30 more were arrested, and then a week later, 49, and last week, 57 were arrested. So there's a growing backlash. But I guess the question is, why cutting the, as the General Assembly and Governor McCrory have done, cutting the earned income tax credit, which affects 900,000 poor and working families, rejecting funding for Medicaid that covers 500,000 North Carolinians without health insurance, slashing state unemployment benefits, rejecting federally funded emergency unemployment compensation for 170,000 laid-off workers. The more you look into this, it just feels like mean-spiritedness. It doesn't, in other words, you know, this is federal money they're getting. It doesn't cost them anything. Why are they doing this?
I think it is mean-spirited. I mean, it's hard not to use the word evil because, you know, this is, you know, lack of health insurance. Just focus on that, the Medicaid lack of health insurance. That it devastates people. It means they can never leave their jobs if they're working poor because if they so it affects the business community, small businesses, because you're tied to your job, because if you lose your health insurance, you can't travel. It drives up our health costs. So economically, it makes no sense. Again, if they were real fiscal conservatives wanting to save money, they would have expanded Medicaid, because one of the things that's driving up the cost of health care for all of us is uninsured people who don't get preventive care. So rather than getting their blood pressure treated or their diabetes treated, it gets out of control and they end up with a $100,000 hospital admission, which then, of course, increases your Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and Aetna costs. So because these people are still going to get sick, just because we don't expand the program doesn't mean those people aren't going to come to the hospital. In fact, I would say that a third of our hospital admissions in my state are because of people having inadequate preventive care because they don't have health insurance. So it is completely mean-spirited, and it's so filled with hypocrisy. It's amazing. So these people, they spend a lot of time talking about the sanctity of life, you know, but what they mean is they really care about the fetus. The minute that fetus turns into a baby, a living, breathing baby, outside the womb, they turn their backs on the baby. They say, okay, you're not going to have health insurance. We're not going to pay for preschool. We're going to cut food stamps so you can't have those. So they could give a damn about these babies. They also want to restrict the right to vote. And so they want, because they want to say, well, we have to have voter ID. IDs. So you would say, oh, okay, that's fine. But then why are you cutting the number of days that people can vote? That has nothing to do with voter ID. In fact, you could argue that we're going to have less chances for fraud if you allow people to vote at a leisurely, 2 weeks prior to the elections without lines, so the computers can check and make sure that this person is a legitimate voter. So I think they're just evil and hypocritic. At least that's all I can think of.
Well, specifically, there are 30,000 children in North Carolina who previously qualified for pre-kindergarten programs that the state had. Now they've made these programs off limit for 30,000 preschool kindergarten children. So there's what they think about children once they're born, as opposed to the sacred fetus. And in terms of the voting, they want stricter forms of IDs, repeal same-day voting registration, cut early voting from 17 days to 6, and ban early voting on Sundays. So it's pretty clear, but what's not clear is how do these people call themselves Christians?
Well, I'm a nice Jewish boy, but I have a really hard time with that. They certainly, I studied the New Testament, and I've got a lot of Christian friends, and I was locked up with a bunch of Baptist preachers and Methodist preachers when I was arrested. So I don't know. They clearly are not reading the same Bible that I've read or the same New Testament. I mean, they're just mean-spirited, and they, it's just appalling.
But can they really cement these changes, which they appear to do? Not only are these changes radical and reactionary, because they're changing the voting laws to sort of ensure their permanent tenure, they look like they really, this is not a flash in the pan revolution. This is some real long-term strategy involved in this. They want to control this state and continue, I take it, to favor the rich and punish the poor and turn North Carolina into the model of the new American conservative movement.
Well, that does worry me, but there are, I think, reasons for hope. So one thing is, if you want to win an election, you always need the center. And the center gets turned off when people do these sort of scorched earth policies. I mean, the center, and that's one of the reasons we're doing the protests and why I felt very comfortable being arrested, is that when they see what's happening, because most people don't understand that, but when they see it's going to have an effect on them, when they're cutting the university system by $100 million, so that means tuition is going to go up, that's going to affect the middle class. When they see that their insurance rates go up because we're not expanding Medicaid, that's going to affect the middle class. So I think people don't like extremists, and these folks are extremists. I think secondly is that McCrory, Tillis, and Berger, McCrory's the governor, Tillis is the Speaker of the House, and Phil Berger is the Senate president. They all have their eyes on higher office. Tillis is probably going to challenge Senator Kay Hagan in this next election. The voters won't like extremists, and these folks are leading a pack of rabid dogs. And so I think this will damage them. And then finally, I think when you get the outside world looking in, so the Koch brothers and Pope and the Republicans were pouring in money here, but I think you're going to start seeing that these demonstrations are getting larger and larger. So Monday is going to be huge. So, I've gotten just emails from tons of people since I was on the front page of the paper 3 weeks ago that they are bringing busloads of people on Monday from all over the state. There's now there're going to be four rabbis showing up, and I think you're going to see this is going to keep on getting bigger and bigger as long as they keep doing this stuff. And a lot of these decisions can be undone. The Medicaid expansion could be reversed quickly.
Well, Dr. Charles Vanderhorst, I thank you very much for joining us here, and this is a pretty alarming report that you've given us, and I take it that Art Pope, the multimillionaire who put up 2.2 $2 million to buy the legislature and the governorship, I'm sure he's getting enormous rewards at the expense of everybody else. So, again, I thank you.
My pleasure, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with pioneering AIDS researcher Dr. Charles Vanderhorst, a professor of medicine at the University of North Carolina Center for Infectious Diseases. He was recently arrested inside the North Carolina State House while peaceably demonstrating against laws that hurt children and the poor. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking with an expert on Russian arms sales.
You never give me your money. You only give me your funny paper. And in the middle of negotiations, you break down.